I read a statement. I haven't read the whole thing, but I read here and there, different places. But he mentions an important fact that we are just beginning to see in the scriptures, and the fact that we were not. God is spirit. We're flesh, and so from any image stand, from our image standpoint, then God is apparently is looking at image from something different than what we're used to. From our image, and of course, God says in the scriptures, "You shall not build or make a graven image. You shall not make something out of something to represent Him, because it is impossible." You can't build anything that looks like God. God is spirit. Covers heaven and earth. Everywhere present. God is, you know, He's unexplainable. The Bible says His ways are past finding out. You can't understand God. And yet, back in the book of Daniel, it says, "And they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits." So there's a difference between knowing God and having an image of God. It says in John 1:18, it says, "No man has seen God at any time." Wait, you can't. God's invisible. He's spirit, pneuma, like the wind, the Bible says. And so He's here. God's presence is right here. To the point that the Bible says that on the day of judgment, that God can, well, even discern the intents, not just the thoughts of our hearts, the intents of our hearts. I mean, we can look like one thing, but in our hearts, we might be something else. We might say, you know, might be crooks, whatever. And so, anyway, there are some phenomenal things that are in there. That's why I want Pablo to keep that copy. I don't know. I got enough copies so that when I see Tim, I'm going to give him a copy of it, because this is right up Tim's alley. You know, the book that we had that came out of Indiana, I think, it was something like One God, One Lord, it was called. And a lot of the revelations and understandings. And see, this is vital. It's a vital thing, because the church has not paid attention to this. They haven't paid attention to this. And, you know, unless I point fingers at anybody, I didn't pay attention to it either. I was taught not to. I was taught that let those that really can understand do the teaching. And so when I saw the teaching of these great intellectuals out in Seattle, I thought, let them do the hard work and I'll just benefit from it. You know what? Don't work that way. The Bible is written in just such a way that it is my book. And the Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That means it's my responsibility. It's not some big shot someplace that's really intelligent. That's not his responsibility. It's mine. Work out my own salvation. And so the common consensus is, well, let me, I'll come back to this, but the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jesus had a lot of people following him that were just common people. And it irritated them. And they said, these people that don't know the law are cursed. It's like they knew the law, and these people that followed Jesus were just listeners. They just heard. And so they were thinking, because they haven't studied the law and they don't know the law, and they're following this, who knows who he is? Because they didn't recognize him. They're cursed. That's a common feeling. And so you go to Bible college, you go to seminaries, you go to And then these are the ones that come out and instruct. But meanwhile, the scriptures tell us that God hides these things from these wise and prudent intellectuals, and he reveals them to babes and sucklings. You know how big a suckling is? They're not very big. 1, 2, 3 year old, you know, whatever. And so, when I started to become a babe and a suckling and started listening to the word instead of trying to analyze it and trying to critique it and trying to whatever, once I started just listening to it, it started doing what it does. If God's ways are past finding out, and it tells us in John 1, it says, in the beginning was God, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If that's the case, and it is, and God's ways are past finding out, so is this Word. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and life. They're not the words of Keith Gunn. The words of the Bible are spirit and life. And so you can't take spiritual words and understand them naturally. So the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, it says, the natural man sees the things of God as foolishness. So when some of the things that we saw, like deliverance, or some of the things we're getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and some of the things that we saw, years ago, I saw them as natural. The day before deliverance broke out in the church, the day before that, what happened on that night, March 15, 1982, that what happened that night was foolishness to me the day before that. Because the things of God are foolishness to the natural mind. And so, there's a scripture. It's in, I lost my page here, but it's Psalms 148. You know what? Let me just give me a second here to find it. Oh, I know what happened. No, I don't either. Okay, Psalms 148, verse 5. It says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. This is a different thing. See, in the book of Hebrews, it says that by faith or through faith, we understand that all things were created by the word of God. And there's something about the makeup of God that is something we, a lot of things, but we can't understand. The Word of God is so powerful that in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, it says, and God said, and there was. And God said, and there was. And God said, and there was. It's like God's Word is a powerful source that does something somehow that we can't understand. And so this Word coming into our system is a creative force. And remember the story of Martha and Mary? And Martha was busy fixing dinner for Jesus and others. And she was a little bit irate. And she says, Master, she says, don't you care? I don't know how she worded that my sister Mary is not helping me prepare the meal and the food. And Jesus turned to her and he said, Martha, Martha, you are cumbered and you are burdened with so many things. And here was Mary, and she was sitting at Jesus' feet listening. She was just listening to what he was saying. And Jesus made this statement. He said, Mary has chosen the good part. You know what? It took me years before I understood that instead of me trying to critique this word and trying to decide which translation was the best, all I had to do was listen to it. And listen to it, and what it does, it creates a new creation inside of us just by the hearing. It isn't something that I can understand. And then the other thing that was that I began to realize, the major issues that are in the Bible are in all translations. It doesn't matter which translation you're in. The things that divide us are our own doctrinal ideas that we twist and make the scriptures trying to fit, and we can sort them out and find little things in the scriptures that make us think the scriptures are wrong. And I used to say, well, I prefer the King James translation. I use it, but I don't necessarily prefer it, because I discovered I have enough translations as we got into major issues, like the one that's on the board up behind me. That is in every translation that we can find, almost exactly word for word. You know why? That's a major issue. That's major. So anyway, I will sit down. I'm not done, but I'll sit down. And when you get a chance, I got a couple more copies of this, but you get a chance, you want to go through that, this pamphlet.
When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he used scripture, and Jesus used scripture back. And this week, I feel like I got a scriptural battle in my mind. And I know that one side is the Holy Spirit, and I know the other side is the devil. It's all scripture, but one of them is from the Holy Spirit, and the other one is from the devil. It's just one of them has the wrong heart. It doesn't apply. You know, if it wasn't for that setting of Jesus being tempted by the devil using scripture, I will be a disaster right now. Anyway, this has nothing to do with what I'm just... But anyway, it says scripture. We listen to scriptures, and we share, and we talk, and we think we know a lot. Or we're learning, or we at least we're learning that we don't know. And we want to see the fruits, and we want to see the fruits. But Jesus says in John 4:37 and 38, he says, "For in this saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into the labors." So let's say he was talking to his disciples. It's like there was a seed that was sown before. The disciples just went there and they picked the corn and they just harvested the apples, whatever. But if nobody planted that seed, they can't pick corn. And this is I'm being metaphoric, but so I'm not disappointed that I'm not picking up corn or not. Maybe I'm just sowing, and that's plenty good for me. Maybe I'm just sowing seeds, and somebody else is gonna pick up the fruits, praise God.
This morning, excuse me, when there were fewer of us here. We were wondering if something major happened in Christianity that we didn't catch. Keith and I had a chance to talk, and I'll share a little bit about that because I think it's appropriate for today and what's going on. It's funny because Pablo, that exact scripture setting we talked about, it's amazing how things that we do, concepts that we do, truths that we had, we're kidding again. It's the same thought process, but it just means so much more because we have such a better foundation of Scripture to be basing where we're at. I've known for years, decades, that I needed to know God. But I didn't really understand exactly how to know God until these last, several years now. And what's been interesting is the revelation of learning that I don't have to fill in all the gaps. I mean, I used to walk around saying, I need to know this, because if I don't know this, I can't explain this to someone else. If I can't explain it to someone else, then obviously they're going to think I really don't know what I'm standing for. And if I don't know what I'm standing for, I have no credibility. And obviously I'm not truly one of God's chosen. Because to determine that, you have to be knowledgeable and have to have an answer. And what God has shown us is that He has all the answers, and He gives us the answers when He knows that we're ready for them. And I got out of the, well, we're going to make this up, or we're not sure, but this is what we think, and this is what we're going to push forward. And that's important, because I think when we think about us, we have to go back to, we had to make a clean break from where we were. Because we had to get away from being in a church environment to being in God's house under His Word. Not what I thought His Word meant, but what His Word meant and what God has showed me His Word has meant. I was telling Keith that in the past, if I didn't agree with what I was being fed, and if I would have said, I don't think you're right, the response to that would have been, well, it doesn't matter, you're not part of this church anymore. You're out of the body. In other words, we had such tight control over what God was doing in us that God wasn't doing anything in us. Man was doing something in us. Now, we're following God. And the path, the way is straight and the path is narrow. And the more we know, the more truth that we have, that path gets even a little bit narrower. Because you go through the Word, there's not a whole lot of, you can do this or this. Or there's not a whole lot of, this is the right thing to do and this is the second best right thing to do. It's pretty much, this is right, and this is wrong. And the more you know that, the narrower that path gets. But while we're on this journey, God is just opening so much up to us, and He's giving us so much encouragement in that we are getting truth through revelation, and we are getting faith through the truth, and we're seeing God fill in blanks and explaining things to us so that we can continue to fight the fight. So we can sit there and take on, maybe a bad way to phrase it, so we can stand in the fire that the enemy is going to bring. And every one of us here, at some time or another, in the not-so-distant past, has been in the fire, one way or another, through all the different things that go on in the world. You know, I was sharing with Keith, I literally know nothing about Jesus for the first 30 years he was alive. He was born. He disobeyed his earthly parents when he was 12, and he started his ministry. He never helped with dishes. He never killed an animal for food. He never helped his dad out in the carpenter shop. Probably, but you know what? God didn't think that was important. My point is, God has gone out of his way to minimize what goes on in the world and to constantly try and get us to focus on what goes on in the spiritual. Bible is saying, I'm in this fight. And I recognize it's a spiritual fight. Where are you going to hear that today? How many people are going to get up and share and say, I've got this problem. I've got this problem in the natural, but I know it's really not a problem in the natural, it's a problem in the spiritual. Pretty thin room. It doesn't mean we're special. It just means God has been giving us blessings and is showing us things. And certainly not all the things, because there's a lot of questions that I don't have answers to yet. And the good news is he showed me that, yeah, but you're not supposed to. It's my time, not your time. And if you can truly grab that, then you can truly be doing his will. I don't know, so this will be just speculation, but did Jesus know God's entire plan before he was baptized by John? I don't know. My thinking is maybe not, because I don't know if he had the fullness of God before he was baptized. So Jesus was still learning and trying to do the Father's will. And as he went on, that became clearer to him. Maybe I just like thinking that way because it helps apply to me. Because I certainly didn't know the Father's will when I was younger. And I have just a little bit better glimmer of what that is. And I know I'm repeating myself, but as I continue in his word, I continue to remind myself that I have to get smaller to allow him to get bigger, to allow me to become what he needs me to become. And I have to remind myself of that all the time, because I get in the way thinking I got to do this, and then I make, okay, and then now I've completed this, and before I know it, I'm taking credit for something I've done, when really what I need to do is go, yep, I was doing this, and now all it does is make me ready to see the next thing that God can do for me, by me doing what God wants me to do. So, I just wanted to share how we're really being blessed by revelations, and they are really helping us with the trials that are coming upon us. As I shared before, my current situation would have been oh so much more difficult to handle if I wasn't in the right place with the Lord, because I just would have felt bad for me. Because that's what flesh likes to do. Feel really bad about what poor calamity has fallen upon me. Calamities may still fall upon me, but I don't feel bad anymore. Now, I would like to say that I'm so strong in the Lord that I'm out there seeking opportunities to show my faith for God, but I'm not doing that either just yet. I'm just saying that whatever the Lord allows to happen, I know He's also going to provide for me to be able to get through that. And probably not perfectly. Probably with a mistake or two. But my faith is that I will get through that. And the reason I'll get through that is I have His Word, and I now know the truth. Sharing with Keith all the things that the Lord has shown and given us over all the last 3.5 decades. And you go, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and they weren't bad thing necessarily. But we were so weak at knowing the Father that we didn't do any of that right. Mostly. I'm not. There's room for people doing things right, but mostly. And the only reason that didn't happen is because we didn't know Him. You know, talk about some things that happened in the past, and I'll set this and then get down. Yeah, I was talking about 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love. And God says, love is the greatest of these. Not faith, not truth, love. Coming where we are, you have to really sit on that scripture and think just a little bit what that means. Especially with our background, because we got so not so okay. Because love is another way about talking about the heart. I've been pounding away at the heart. A heart of God. A heart of God. What does that really mean? And how does that enable the Father to dwell within you? To fulfill Scripture. Because that's what He wants to do. The greatest of these is love. Have your heart towards God. Be open to whatever. Let Him run the bus. Which means die to self and die to flesh and all these things that we sort of know. But now we know it's standing on the rock of His Word. And that makes all the difference. Before, these were just sort of things. Before, we were sort of playing church. Now we're trying to follow God's heart. And I think that's as far away as the East is from the West. I'm excited, even though I'm soft-spoken today. God is doing amazing things. And I'm just so happy, so blessed to be here. And to hear how God is doing amazing things in us, even when it seems like He's not. Even when it seems like we're more like David in a cave, going, I don't understand. But He is. You just have to be able to keep seeing Him and everything that's going on.
James took me fishing yesterday. That's a strange way to say it. But people are a little bit concerned about me going fishing, and of course they should be, because they took both James and Chuck to get me in and out of the boat. But anyway, I had the best chance to talk to this man, and he is so open. He is so open. It is a joyful thing. But anyway, on the way home, just the side of the viaduct, you know where the viaduct is, up on 124, and we're traveling along maybe 50 miles an hour. He's not real fast when he's pulling a boat, you know, it's about 50 maybe. And all of a sudden, and I didn't even see it, a big deer steps out of the cornfield right in front of us. And he slammed on the brakes. And I mean, the deer wasn't even trying to get away from us or anything. He slammed on the brakes, and we started to slide You know, the car and the trailer behind us, and we're sliding, and we missed him. And so we're driving along, and he looks back, and he says, there's something wrong with the boat. And you know what? I've had more difficulties with that boat, you know, one way or another. There's something wrong with the boat. So when we got into Chippewa, he pulls in, and we looked, and the boat had slid ahead and had broken or had twisted the front connection, you know, which is fixable. And, oh, he felt bad. And I says, James, thank God that's all that happened. We can fix that. But it's a lot harder to fix the front end of a car after they hit a deer. And it was a big deer, too. And I thought, no matter what part of the fishing trip that I take, there's always something like that. And we have... And there's a scripture, it's in Ephesians 6:12, and it says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we have had so many close calls. We're driving down the road, and Joanne and I, and somebody pulls out in front of us. Or we had one where a guy come around the corner and lost control and was headed right at us, and I never even saw it. Scared Joanne. She was sitting right by me. The truck headed right at us, and somehow it missed us. And we've got a lot of those that we can relate to. And here's this one here. James was concerned, and he felt really bad. He said, I'm so sorry. And I said, James, I am so glad that this is all that happened. We can have somebody pull that boat back a couple of feet and fix the front end of the trailer, but we can't fix that. We could have ended up in the ditch. And but anyway, I am so glad. You know, it's hard when you got a handful of people and you look around and most of them aren't there. And you're turning 81 in a week. It's hard. You know, you think, is this the way it's going to end? I mean, is this, you know, after all of these phenomenal things that have taken place in this body, and that Corky and I were talking about it the other day, we have seen our share of unbelievable things in this church. And when it comes to signs and wonders, we have seen them. We've seen healings. And Pablo is suffering through that from his foot or his leg. And I don't know why God didn't heal it the first time we prayed for you. But you know what the Bible says about Jesus? It says he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And I'm thinking, the Son of God suffering? And he's going to die on the cross. And he says, Father, if there's any other way, you know, is there any other way? And apparently there wasn't. And so he made this profound statement. And I tell you, this is, I'm starting to recognize this. And this has been a change in my prayer in the last few weeks. I don't really know what is the right way to do something. But he does. He knows exactly what Pablo needs to make him strong spiritually. There's a scripture that's in the sixth chapter of John or of Matthew, and it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." It's not. It doesn't say seek first this church. It doesn't, or any church. It doesn't say that. It says seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know what? The listening to the Word of God has done, it has made us want the kingdom of God. I want righteousness. I want truth. I want to know. I don't want to face God in the day of judgment, and here I have been misled, and I don't have the truth. I don't want to be there. I don't want God to, or, you know, on that day, I don't want to hear a voice that says, trying to think how he said that in Matthew 7. Yeah, depart from me. You think I could think of that simple statement? Depart from me. You are a worker of iniquity. You are a unforgiven sinner. Depart. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. And when he separates the sheep from the goats, I want to be on the sheep's side. When I said that, I thought of a conversation Chuck and I had this morning. Now, this is not a spiritual statement. But I said, see, he's going to, in a week and a half, he's going to have a hernia operation. And I said, if it's a man having it, why isn't it called a hymnia? Yeah, hymnia instead of a hernia. And so we had some conversation about that. But I'm glad that I didn't have to call somebody to come and get me from the cornfield last night. And poor James, he felt bad that he'd done some damage to the boat. And I said, James, if it would have been me, there would have been a dead deer and we would have been in a cornfield if I'd have been driving, because I would have never moved fast enough to do what he did. All four tires were sliding. And I think the screeching noise of the tires is what got the deer out of the way. You know what I say? I say, thank God for what happened. And you all know this. What happened with when Rodney and I were pulling the boat down the highway, down I can't think of the name of the street, but and all of a sudden I hear this sound of a like a semi backfiring, and I said, "Was that a truck, Rodney?" And he said, "No, that's us." And the noise that I heard was a sliding of the boat and stuff. The trailer had come apart. And we're sitting right out on Woodward. That's where it was, on Woodward. And it's a busy street, but we found a place, and he pulled off to the side. And I looked at it, and the trailer, there were two parts to it. And the boat is sitting just missing the blacktop. And I looked underneath it, and I thought, they can't even get this up on a trailer to pull it and fix it somewhere. That's the mess I got. And Rodney's looking from the roadside, and I'm looking from the other side underneath it, and I straightened up and looked. There's a guy standing next to Rodney. And he looks at me and he says, "We can fix that." And I thought, I don't know who we are, but it better be more than us. And so he went back. He just lived down the road. He went back, and he got a great big, one of the biggest jacks I ever saw, and he jacks the trailer up in the air, and it's almost like it's supposed to be. And as we're looking at it, another guy shows up. And he says, "I got a welder. I just live down the road. I got a welder. This is on a holiday. I got a welder." And he comes over, and I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, "Where did these guys come from?" They weren't angels, because they live there. But somehow they were sent there. And so this guy comes, and he brings his welder, and they welded my boat trailer back together, sitting on the road, and we were ready to go in a half hour. By then, I lost my urge to go fishing. So we went home. But it's like, is that a miracle? Rodney says, that was a miracle. So anyway, those are my fishing trips. Those are the things that I've been running into, you know what I mean?
You didn't know angels have tools.
No. But then I did, you know, I saw an angel. But you know what? He looked just like one of somebody here.
I don't know, this may seem a little, I don't want to say mundane or fit, but as I was sitting here, I've been noticing something lately concerning my children. Way back when, somehow the thing got planted in my mind that to be proud of something was bad. You know? Because that just meant you were thinking your ego or what, you know. So I think I would say things to my kids, but I'd always hold back because I didn't want them to get puffed up or whatever, you know, and stuff. And, you know, in the last, maybe 6 months, for some reason, I noticed some of their accomplishments. And this thing just said, you have to let them know that you recognize that and you're really proud of them. And I started saying, daughter, son. That seems really dumb. But I can feel there's a closeness starting that what kind of maybe wasn't there. You know, I would say, instead of, geez, that was a good job, Trace, I would say, son. And, gee, Katie, I'm really proud of you as my daughter. And immediate the response would come back, dad, you know. And I wish I was saying it because something spiritual had happened, but I'm kind of feeling like it's creating maybe a relationship now later down the road. And so and then, you know, some of the stuff that came back is, well, we learned how to work and how to stick to it because we had a good example, whatever. But they also know that there was another half that contributed as much or more than I did to their where they are. But and then, you know, just to show how crazy the natural life is, I haven't been watching much news because the only thing, if I've been watching anything, has been the Tour de France, you know, as I tape it and then I can get through it quicker. But it, when they have a stage, it takes a long time, you know. So anyway, Trace texted me the other night and he says, I don't know if you've been watching the news, he said, but you remember Schwartzy, and I remember the nickname. He says, yeah. He said, he just drowned down at Phoenix Park. And I hadn't heard anything, you know, because I had just wasn't watching news. And then I kind of went to WAU.com and started reading about it. It was, I mean, the guy goes down to go fishing on a Sunday evening, and who knows what happens? He ends up in the river and drowns. And he actually, and so we had goose hunted with him. That's how I knew him, because that's what Trey said, you know, the guy we hunt. Yeah, and I had actually ran into him a couple months ago, first time in all the years, or all the times I've been at Gold's Gym, and just happened to see him, you know. But he was the one who imprinted tats for Pam for her radiology, because they have to set up exactly the same place every time, and that was what he did. So, you know, he was very comforting during that time, too, because we were seeing him quite often, you know, when we'd go to the Sacred Heart there for the cancer center and stuff. And 47 years old. You know, and you wonder, you know, that's how fleeting life is. It's just goes down and then that happens. And so I went to the visitation and it was at Jacob's Well. And my goodness, you know. You want to be impressed with a building, go there. It's huge. But anyway, so I was thinking, you know, when God says this is my son in whom I am well pleased. You know, coming from God the Father, that is really a statement, you know? And so that's just a little bit that's been sitting there. I was reading that a little bit of the scriptures that I had brought a couple weeks ago, just went over them again, you know, that God wants to dwell in us. Still amazing, you know? That God's Spirit wants to dwell in man. And, you know, I'm sure, I haven't read any of that yet, but I'm sure that has something to do with it. You know? And that's a revelation. You know, but, boy, you know, Corky made a statement. The more that God, out of His mercy and grace, gives us truth, it's hard to believe, but that path does get more narrow. And it makes you start to have this concern for all the people in this world, because there's so many of them. I mean, it's still, you know, it's going to be up to them individually, but there are so many that are being led astray. And it's a lot like Pablo mentioned about scriptures. The devil can really use them against you. For one, most of the time, it's to bring condemnation. See, either if you're not, feel like you're not sowing or you're not bringing fruit, then there's condemnation. If you happen to start doing that, then he'll puff you up, you know, and say, oh, you're a man of God, you know, and you know, try to take you out that way, which has happened. All those things have happened to us in the past, you know. And, yeah, he's a sly one. And then you have, you know, the teachings of men. And I just constantly keep remembering, and I love it, is in my mind, and maybe you don't all agree this way, but from what I've seen from the scripture, and I like this thought, and I've said it many times, not one bit of my intelligence is going to get me to heaven. In fact, most of my intelligence is trying to take me the other way. You know, because that revelation of being taught by the Holy Spirit, if you really grasp that, it has nothing to do with your natural mind. Now, you can have a spiritual mind, the Word says, which that Holy Spirit will develop. But you're natural. And you know why that, you know, the natural mind wants to make the path wide open. Everybody can come in if they're just a little bit good. You know? That's the natural mind. That's not what the Holy Spirit teaches. That's not what God's trying to develop. You know? But at the same time, it's really crazy, because and I think the devil can use this aspect too. The mercy and grace of God, you just don't know. I don't even know it for my own self. You know, I'm still doing... Who brought that? Was that either Orky or Tim or somebody? Don't judge yourself. I don't remember who brought that. Was that Orky last week? Not, you know, that we have to have a name on it. But. And I know that's something I'm still doing. You know? And so... I was sitting here this morning thinking, boy, I don't know. I think we're under attack, but, you know, maybe it's just I got to think for myself, you know. I don't know if everybody's under attack, but I am, you know. And but part of that's my fault too, you know, because I've opened probably some doors there that I shouldn't, and it's allowed him to have some leverage, the enemy. But the... See that and I don't want to pick on, you know, on one particular church, but even this, if you make this building has to be a certain way to make people feel comfortable or attracted, we're missing it. You know? I mean, that's the natural man again, trying to make circumstances make everybody feel comfortable and good. I'm not feeling comfortable, but I'm in the best place probably I could be. You know? Because he's getting down into some inner places that need to be cleared out. You know? And, boy, I sit and look at him now and I'm thinking, reap? Are you kidding? Who am I going to reap? You know? And so? And it's like sometimes it looks so impossible about how you would all of a sudden begin to present what you've been given. But you know what? It should. Because it's with God. Nothing is impossible. With me, everything's impossible. You know, in my natural or whatever. So, and then you got to have the faith, the hope, and of course all of them greatest would be love, which I don't know a lot of either and that I need to know more of. It's so I need to just believe that God's, you know, that you can be in these places that look dry or look dark. But you got to keep hanging on to the fact that you know God's got you in His hands. And He's developing what you need to have, you know. And it's so it isn't always a tribulation from outside. It's a tribulation right here, you know. And but He says He'll get us through that. And so I believe Him at this minute, second, right now. When I sit down, who knows, you know, but right now, and then when I sit down, I need to let the words echo in my own ears, you know, because, but, you know, and the other thing I noticed, because I wasn't here last Sunday, and if you're in that kind of a state, boy, do you realize, and it's like you don't want to put too much on the church that you belong to, but there is a certain edifying whenever I'm here, and there's a certain, I mean, my spiritual level always goes up when I'm here, you know? And no, I'm not totally relying on you, but it's part of the, because it says we should edify one another. And so I miss it. If I miss, I can tell, you know? And that's why generally in one day I come and I usually try to come at night just because sitting here, when Keith's bringing stuff, I'll hear what he's saying. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit will be ministering in some other areas at the, you know, while he's speaking. And so it's it just gives me a little more. And pretty soon it'll maybe carry all the way through the week instead of the first day or two. But it's, you know, you got to see that you're weak. That's one of the big things about, I think. And the church generally does not want to ever look like they're weak. So that's why they do build up the things they do and try to not look at stuff that could, you know, and then people are sitting there and it's like, I just read the scripture, I was looking through Matthew a little bit, you know, and it says that the blind lead the blind. And why make someone twice, I don't remember now the exact words, but it says, you go bring in people and make them twice the proselyte or whatever that you are. You know? That's I don't want that on my conscience or in my spirit, you know? That I'd mislead someone and bring them into damnation, you know? So, that's why you got to be humble. That's why you got to be a babe and a suckling too, you know. And admit you don't know anything, and admit that the Father has to take care of you, and He will, you know. So, it's that scripture, you know, that the foolishness, God, you know, looks upon the wise and prudent as the foolish of this world. Isn't that something, you know? And we get so puffed up when we think we know so much, you know. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't say that you can't know things to be successful in the world. But don't base your eternal life on it one bit, you know. So.
In Hebrews 10:25, it says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, and especially as you see the day approaching." The closer you get to the end time. And when Ken was, you know, talking about the, you know, these things that we go through, you're not alone. You know what I mean? It's like Red Green used to say, we're in this thing together. And, of course, he didn't say it for any similar reason that we're talking about. But in the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul gives this picture of himself. And it's like, been there, done that. The good I would, I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And he gives this picture. And then he makes this statement in Romans 8:1. And that verse did a number. It really made me free in a lot of things one day. This is a while ago. In Romans 8:1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in the Spirit, or walk in the Spirit, and not after the flesh." Well, from the chapter 7, it looks to me like we got lots of condemnation. Been there, done that. And then in the 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and I'm not exactly sure which couple of verses, but it says, "If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart." Now, this is not a worldly thing. This is somebody that's trying. This is somebody that wants reality, that wants truth, that wants God. But it says, in the next verse, it says, "But if your heart condemns you not, then you have confidence towards God." Is that where it's at in the 3rd chapter? You can't find it?
It's verse 20. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence then we have, God.
But it's 1 John 3, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I saw Gene looking, and Gene's my, what's the word? It's not a comforter, it's a consolation or whatever. I know that if I'm quoting it wrong here, she's going to say something. Or at least I want her to. I want you to. It tells us, you know, it says the only picture we have anywhere in the scriptures of a church service is in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And it says, "How is it, brethren, when you come together?" That's church. And one has this, and one has this, and one has this. And let all things be done, you know, for edifying, edification of the church. And I understand what Ken is talking about. And I am blessed. I have never been blessed and affected as much as I have been in the last few years by the exhortations and the testimonies and the things, the scriptural revelations that God has been giving people in this church. What a blessing. I have never seen anything like this. And I just want to, I don't know when Miguel and Jackie go back. Will you be here next Sunday yet? Or yeah, okay. But anyway, I have a love for these two. And I haven't seen them for a couple of years, but Miguel has this interest in the spiritual things that amazes me. And not just because we see him and we talk about it and so forth, but I'm amazed at it because it's not common. It's not common. And some of the conversations, some of the things I've heard him say, and I'm thinking, he fits right in here. He fits in. And anyway, I just want to say you've been a blessing. And so, any other? Okay.
So I'm going to try to, like, stay on a straight path, but it's not going to happen. Like, imagine a million different things, like, coming at you, and you just have to choose one thing and, like, okay. So, I think everyone knows right now that my dad, I mean, he can barely walk. He's got a pain right here. I mean, yesterday, before I went to bed, I had to lift his leg to see if it hurt, because he wasn't even strong enough to lift it up to see if it would move, to see if it was better or worse like this. And that's hard to see, but it's understandable. And I can't make a point at all, and no one's going to understand where I'm coming from, but I just need to speak for a little bit. So I was listening yesterday, because I have the scriptures playing in my room. Most of you guys know that too, I think. And it's just the Gospels. But there was, again, before I fell asleep, and I went to bed real early because I was tired, but I listened to this like a minute before I passed out or whatever. And it's Matthew 7, 21, like the whole thing that I'm sure everyone knows. And this little excerpt, it's, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord," and I'm sure all of you know where I'm going with this, "shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And, you know, people read that, and they're like, okay, wow, you know. And then they think, yeah, but, you know, I'm one of the sheep. I'm the person, I'm not the fool who doesn't do that. I'm not that guy that God says, go away. I'm not that guy, because I'm me. What? No, that's not how it works. Because listen to what they have to say. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils." So these guys, who are, I'm assuming, the goats getting sent to hell, have cast out demons in Jesus' name, and also done many wonderful works. And then, this is Jesus saying again, because this is him saying I. "And then I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And you guys know what iniquity is. It's like, it's not evil, but it's like, it's grossness. It's gross, unfair. It's impurity. I think there is a slight difference in evil and impurity. And then, you know, later it goes on to say, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock." So now here's this example. The people who listen to him and doeth what he say, when the rain comes, not if the rain comes, when the rain comes, their house that they built upon a rock will stay there because he built it upon a rock. But the people who built the house upon the sand, the fools who didn't do, who hear but don't do, when the rain comes, the house falls. And people, and again, they listen to that and they're like, man, that idiot. I mean, calm down. You can be that idiot. I am probably that idiot. I mean, so many people listen to that, and it's not more, it is an adult, but not adults that I really see, but in so many of my friends and, youth leaders and these groups that I'm part of, they listen, and they're like, you have to be a really bad person to be the person who, builds the house upon the sand, and you have to be a really bad person, who doesn't visit, and I don't know if it's, doesn't visit Jesus in prison, that analogy. You have to be a really bad person. Like, no, you don't. You can be a really, really good person. There's going to be a lot of people on the right or the left, whatever side, that people are going to be really surprised that they're there. Again, I don't know how it's all going to work. But if you could see and you knew exactly who was who, you're going to look over on whatever side you're on and be like, wow. Because it's not up to us to judge. And there's this other thing that I couldn't find. I have like a million different bookmarks. Okay, and then Galatians 6:3. "Heeth that..." Where is it? I only saw like that thing. Unless someone knows it. I don't know, whatever, it's fine. But it says that he that hears the word of the Lord and does not do, deceiveth himself. He is a hypocrite. And that, again, is incredibly, like, not frustrating, because frustrating is a weird word to use in this situation, but it's frustrating that that could even happen. Because when people, okay, here's another thing, and I'm going to talk, I don't know how long I'm going to talk for, but whatever. So there is, when people say, oh yeah, the path is really, really narrow, you know, it's already narrow, and then it gets narrower. I like to think, I used to think, until yesterday, that, you know, it gets narrower, you know, when people are, you know, reading, and it's like, you know what, this is not true, I'm going to go steal something. No, I mean, they go through something, typically, is what I would expect. When they're given something that they've never handled before, because, like, when you're a baby, you grow naturally. You know, God designed us that we grow from a baby, and we keep growing. But when you're trying to grow in God, you're getting used to, again, there's no set time. But after a while of, you know, like, hey, stupid analogy, I stubbed my toe, but you know what, I'm cool, or I'm good with it. And then people keep going, and then all of a sudden this big thing hits them that they don't expect. And, you know, I'm talking about what's happening with my dad. Or, like, my head. You guys, did I ever talk about that? When I hit my head and, you know, like, it bled and I needed staples and stuff like that. That was 2 days before a big tennis tournament. And I was walking around for a couple weeks. I mean, I had hurt my ankle. I couldn't walk a couple weeks before. And then I could not walk. I couldn't play tennis. But, you know, I was praying, you know, God, please, whatever. And then he healed me. And then after a couple of days, it was like, you know what? I'm on fire. I'm unstoppable. I have God on my shoulder. I'm going to keep going. And then I'm playing the most easy game in a gym class. Kickball. I'm playing kickball. And I fall and, break my head open. And I'm my mom has to come get me. I'm bleeding profusely. I'm sweating profusely. I can't think. I have a headache. I'm in the most pain I've ever been in my entire life. But, you know, I don't freak out. It's just more like I can't do anything, you know, just give it to God. And that was another humbling experience that I needed. Because I would rather, and this is, you know, I'm surprised I got to this. I would rather now go through something. Like, let's say tomorrow I'm in a huge car accident and I lose my arm and my brother loses both of his legs. I would be furious beyond belief. And I know right now. But it would put me through something, I think, that would make me realize, hey, Dominic, you're not where you're supposed to be. You need to realize that what you're doing or what you're thinking might not be what God wants you to be doing. And I would rather figure that out now than what's prophesied in Matthew 7:21, when it's too late.
Right?
I would rather go through so many things in life that I can't speak, talk, hear, eat, taste, see, no limbs, but be doing what God wants me to be doing, than go through life with, you know, a couple of things or nothing. But then when you get there and God's, you know, you're screwed. I mean, so just like my grandpa was talking about with the deer and the, you know, it's better that the trailer just bent. I didn't really understand because I don't know how boat trailers work, really. But the trailer just bent instead of hitting a deer. Like, that outlook is really good because he was glad that the other thing didn't happen. You need to look at things like that. But there's just a really, and this isn't a tangent, but I don't care. In admitting that you're doing something wrong, and again, this is more of the point I'm trying to make, the road narrows because I think a lot of what takes people off is when people refuse to admit that they're doing something wrong. Yeah. Like, yeah, I have a huge self-image problem, and I can admit that, and I'm trying to fix that. I get angry. I don't get angry very often because I'm, like, I don't care about a lot of stuff. I mean, I care, but, like, I don't get frustrated with a lot of stuff. But when I get angry, I get really angry. But I can admit that, and I'm trying to fix that. But when someone encounters something, and instead of being like, you know what, thank you for letting this reveal to me that I'm doing something wrong, and that instead of getting angry at you, I can say thank you, they just get frustrated with God, and they get angry. And that's natural. I mean, that's not, You know, I mean, it is bad, but it's not evil. I mean, just like you can be surprised of, you know, wow, that person's over there. Wait, I'm over here. It's the same thing with, wow, this person is still capable of fault. I mean, you live your life and you think, you know, this person, you know, they would never do this. But God is all-powerful. So he can make someone who you would never think could do something do that thing. So right now, I think that's a really big thing that I'm seeing. And again, it's really hard to say because I'm not in pain. I'm actually pretty comfortable. But instead of getting angry and, oh, you know, it's starting to feel better, and then, oh, now I have this other thing. Instead of just getting continuously frustrated, I just, and in every situation like this, just take a step back and think, thank you for giving this to me now, instead of wherever this is. I don't even know. On a cloud? I have no idea, to be honest. Whatever the analogy is. Instead of there. Yeah, Matthew 7, but I don't know where the setting is. I don't know if it's on a hill, or I mean, I actually have no clue. It doesn't specify, but that place. Did that make sense? I don't even remember what I said. All right, yeah, that's all.
I was going to get up real quick after Ken, but it fits for what Dominic just brought, too. You know, Warped Swords of Way, I've really come to enjoy the trials. I'm not asking for them. I've got plenty. But God can do things with the trials. Because we're flesh, and we just don't hear very well. We're on the mountaintop. Just don't do it. You're a champion at this, or you've just succeeded at that. You don't want anybody coming in and screwing up your mojo. You just don't want to deal with that. But when you're struggling, that's when you're open, and your heart is open, and when you're listening. So, I don't know if it's right to be thinking about only losing one limb and your brother losing two, but that's an interesting way to approach that. As long as my brother's suffering more than me, I'm okay with all that. No, I'm teasing Dominic. But I have found in my own life that the more difficult my situation has been, the more God has been able to do with me. Prabhu is growing tons right now, as unhappy as he is. But spiritually, he's growing tons right now. Having things happen, I'm sure Ken in his trials, God is letting him grow. And not that we can't grow when we're on a mountaintop. We can. And in fact, that's going to be my barometer. When I can still hear God and still realize I'm screwing up when I'm on the mountaintop, I'll start to think that, you know, maybe I really am walking right because I don't need to be in a trial to be open. I'm just open, period. But I know right now with where I'm at, I just seem to listen more when I'm struggling because I'm more open to, well, I can do this justification in my head. Well, you know, if I was all that, I wouldn't be struggling. So obviously I can improve. And it just seems to happen that way. So anyways, I would encourage someone in a trial to look at the fact that if the Lord is allowing them to be in that trial, there's a good thing that can come of that. So that's the upside in the gray.
I'm only up here for a second, but Corky reminded me when he said growing, or in that, I don't know what you said, but it triggered something, that it's a growth period. When you go through a trial, it's a growth period, and all of a sudden the thought of, or the phrase, growing pains, went through my mind. Think nobody says nobody no child goes through growing stages without being tired, more hungry, pain in their legs. It's you're growing. You know what I mean? So it, are you growing all the time when you're just hanging out? Yes. But there's a reason why the word is growing pains, because it pains to go through growth. And it pains for your legs to cramp, but pretty soon you're taller than your friend. You know what I mean? So it just, it triggered something when Corky, I came up here just to read Philippians 4. But it, when he said that, I thought, growing pains. Yes, that's why it says growing pains, because there's a reason it says it. And I'm old, so I got to take this off. Philippians 4. 6 through 9 has been my little section for the last couple of days, because we take in a lot of the word. Pablo hears the word, and he does. He hears and he does and hears and he does. But there's many times that God does. He gives us so much that our cup is overflowing. But sometimes I maybe this isn't true, but sometimes I feel like, you know, if you're, what happens when you have a full cup all the time? Something can start to mold. Do you know what I mean? Like, if your cup is running over, give and give and give. And the more that you give, remember the little song, the more he, yes. He gives you more to give. The more that he gives, he's giving you more to give. Not to keep it and wonder and think and hold it in, and I've got all these scriptures. He's giving you more to give. And I have watched my dad, who is old and feeble, and he can't stand up, and I just have to close my eyes and pretend that I don't see him wandering around. But he's able to stand up here on Sunday a few times, and on Sunday night, he's able, you know, to preach. And when he preaches, he doesn't have all of those things. You know what I mean? And so it's like, then it's a little spiritual, you know? Okay, so Philippians. I was ministering to Pablo the other night, and I said, you know, count it all joy. I love James, the book of James. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. But Philippians 4:9 came to 6-9 came to me the other night, and I have slept just a few hours this whole entire week, as has Pablo. Philippians 4:6-9. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now I'm going to interject something. Crying out to God till your heart can't handle anymore, prayer and supplication, beg God, all these things that's what we do as Christians. It's like, God, what?
My Bible, careful, it says anxious, it says be anxious for nothing.
Yeah, I'm just reading King James Version.
No,
yes. Yes, be anxious. Yes, that is true. And that is how most, if you see pictures on the wall, the framed scriptures, it's be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, plead to God and ask what you will, and he'll give it to you, which is where everybody likes to just set. I'm a Christian. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. But did you forget all the scriptures about how you're supposed to take care of your mind, your body, your soul, your neighbor, yourself? So here's the thing that I learned a few years ago, and it's a growing pain thing for me always. This is actually what it says, okay? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. With thanksgiving, not I am destitute and I'm poor and lowly. Yeah, you need to feel that, but with thanksgiving. And it brought back when I was reading this, there's a couple more to read. It brought back when I was telling Pablo, I've told many people this over the last couple of years, and it never dawned on me until a couple of years ago, but when I was little, my mom would pray for people and whatever, and she would always say, thank you, Jesus, thank you, thank you. And our car would break down, we'd run out of gas, the cat would break its leg, and my mom would do, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And I used to think, no, we're not thanking. thank you, Jesus, we have a thing we need to be praying for. What are we thanking him for? Thanking him for the broken leg? Thanking him that our car is stranded in the middle of Montana? What are we thanking him for? We can't get to the next exit and we're all starving. Guess what? We have to thank him in the trials so that our growing pains bring forth, we walk through the fire, we get through the fire, and we shine like gold. We shine as a diamond. Do we all go through fire? Yep. You can be an unbeliever or a believer. It rains on the just and the unjust. You will walk through the fire. But when you believe in God with all your heart, the one that created you, he will make you and be with you through the fire, so you will shine in the end. If you don't believe in God, you're going to walk through a fire, and you will be burned. But if you believe in the Creator, you'll walk through that fire, and you shall not be burned. Will you go through trials? Yeah, because we're earthly people. We're human people. But with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Not, yeah, plead and beg, but you better have some thanksgiving in there. And as you thank him, you can remember to think about all the things that he already did. You know, all those things to be thankful for. And if you put your mind in the thanksgiving for all the things that he's been doing for you and has done for you, without even asking, let's say, your mind can't even be flooded with the thing that's happening at the moment because you're so thanksgiving and thanking him for what he's going to do. That's what my mom used to say. Well, we're going to thank him for what he's going to do. Well, he better hurry up and get our car some gas so we can get to that next exit because we're starving. I know. You know how many cars we have stood on the side of the highway in Montana and prayed, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. We are out of gas on zero. Thank you, Jesus. We get back in the car, nothing. Back in the car. With thanksgiving, did it happen the first time every time? Nope. But we kept on. None of us ever walked to the gas station. We got back in that car, and my mom, thank you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, foot, and we butt, all the way to that exit. But we made it. Because we had thanksgiving. Because we let the Lord know. We ask God for with prayer, with anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, and this is my prayer. And it's always been my prayer the last couple of years, but now it's my prayer more than ever. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, not sad. Whatsoever things are honest, not bad. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Not whatever things are of a bad report. Whatsoever things are of a good report, with thanksgiving. And if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things. You know why? Because when you're thinking on those things, you can't think about the other thing. Those things, and this hit me. I know I've heard this last scripture a million times because we've soaked in a lot of scripture. And, you know, you want to say, well, the Bible says this and I'm doing it. The Bible says this and I'm doing it. Well, those things which you have learned for 17 years, 16 years of living scriptures, and received, and heard, those things which you have learned, heard and received, those things that you have learned, heard and received, and seen in me, what's the next word? Do! And the God of peace shall be with you. So no more, hold it in. No more, I got it all up here. No more trying to figure it out. Those things which you have both heard, well, you are praying with, well, you are being careful and anxious for nothing, and giving in everything, being in by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So, those things which you have both heard, learned, received and heard, and seen in me, do. And then the God of peace shall be with you. But not ask and you shall receive and knock and all those famous things that look lovely on our walls. There's a lot more than just asking and you shall receive. because we can't only read the good ones. I mean, we all know as Christians, and every other Christian, we love to ask and you shall receive, and the door shall be open and knock. And I'm actually sick of seeing that on plaques. There is more. You want that? Get it. But you got to do all of this to get it. But in the meantime, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving.
And then count it all joy.
Okay, I want to say some words about us. 15 years ago, we came here for the first time, in my case. And every time we have come, we have been here on Sundays, listening to you. About my history, since more than 60 years, I've been connected to science in the way that the first book I read when I was 4 years old was one on astronomy. And I've been a fanatic on science since then, and knowing the universe, how big it is, and how small we are in compared to them. Later I followed with the science path, and for 40 years I've been lecturing in engineering, in telecommunications and electrical engineering, passing my knowledge to students. And it kind of that makes you feel okay, you know, you are fulfilling a job, and a good job, to lecture. More than 2,500 students have been in these 4 years graduated under my lecturing. And as you said, God is always behind, not ourselves as a people, but as a humanity. In my opinion, He always tests us as individuals, but the big picture is mankind is going forward, and even if one individual may fail or may get out of the picture, humanity as itself will continue. Thanks to this greatness. In my case, as an individual, I have a big test. I was married with a great woman. We had three kids. And she was 32 years old when she died because of cancer. For me, it was a big test. But I have something like that that helped me go through it. And continue to live and to do our stuff. And my kids grow up as good kids. And 20 years after that, again, I have the luck or the help to meet Jackie. And then I would say my life has been a very good life, full of good moments. And the bad moments are been so good that somebody has helped me to go through those bad moments. So the big picture, you should be happy. That's the main thing. It's respect your family, respect your community, help those that need help. And don't worry too much about problems. Either they don't have solution or they solve themselves. Okay, that's it.
God bless you. I love this man. You know, I was just thinking, Jackie, you kind of heard a little bit of a testimony of what your children and your grandchildren and where they're at, and when my daughter met this fellow on the internet. And from a country that I wasn't even sure where it was at. And anyway, they got talking, and he came to visit us, and I thought, I don't have a clue. We could hardly understand each other. And, but anyway, what has happened is he has become one of the highlights of our life. Just an awesome thing with the spiritual. I don't know who he is. I mean, I don't know what happened. I don't know how this all happened. But I've told people it's like God brought us an angel from Chile. And what a blessing. And even though he's going through a test at this moment, God always delivers him. He always brings him through, and he's always on top, and he's always right there, and he has to be one of the greatest blessings that moved from your area, but we got him. What a sweetheart. But you heard the testimonies, and Dominic, it's like you don't hear that testimony. You just don't hear from young people. There's a scripture where they said that Jesus' mother and brethren came to see him. And they told him, they said, your mother and your brethren are here to see you. And instead of saying, well, send him on in. He didn't say that. He says, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He said, it is these who hear the word of God and do it. Who is his mother and who is his brethren? It's Pablo and it's Candy and it's Dominic and Eli and Felicity. You know what I mean? Those who are hearing God's word and doing it. And I tell you, Pablo has been a blessing to us because of his influence. Oh, I suppose it works both ways with Candy, and we're thankful. And I say, God bless you, Jackie, and God bless you, Miguel. God bless you. Let's come up to the front. Fortunately, most people that hear this are going to hear it through the internet, so that the time isn't a factor. Those that get it on the CDs, it'll be a little different.